What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Okay, praise God. Please give me the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's start from there, from verse 32. Okay, this was when Goliath was threatening everybody, okay? But the story is not about Goliath, okay? That's what I want to share with you. I just want to make a reference to something there, okay? Because, you know, you have a good pastor, you are familiar with the word. So whenever anybody opens his passage, you always assume, okay, this is what he wants to say. Don't assume anything. I just want to read something there. Okay, this after Saul invited David over, having heard him say that he could kill Goliath. So he came. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with these Philistines." Okay, next verse. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and the man, and he's a man of war from what? A man of war from his youth." Okay, the next line. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. Okay, when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, okay, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from his mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it." Okay, now, a lot, when people read that place, they always think that maybe a lion came. Okay, he was talking about a lifestyle. It's not referring to just an event that a lion came one time and a bear came another time. He was giving the man overview of what he does. Whenever a lion comes around, what he does to the lion. Whenever a bear comes around, what he does or what he did to them. Okay? He was just giving an overview of how he handles those predators that come to threaten the sheep that he oversees or that he oversaw. Now, why did I read that place? Because I want to discuss something with you, okay? I will start today, I will end up tomorrow. And I called it not taking certain things for granted, okay? People know me that I'm not very good with titles, I just talk, whatever you can glean, okay? But that is the idea. You know, this man said, how many of you know that he was a shepherd, right? And I would say there were sheep under him that he was supposed to take and look. And those sheep, they are for his benefit. They are not for the benefit of the sheep. They are for his benefit. That's where he gets the money. That's where the family feeds. That's the thing that where the clothes, where they rent, pay rent. That's, you know. He says, but there are certain elements that will come. Bear will come. This is to just take one sheep. Look at what it says. They will take a sheep, one. We don't know how many they were. But they will take one. The man says, "I will leave the rest and follow after that one, after the bear, and rescue it from his hand." The idea was to rescue it from his hand and go. He said, "But if the thing now turns around after I rescued it, I will now turn against the thing and kill it." Right? I'm going somewhere. How many of you know that Christ has left for the body? I mean, when you meet the body, us, every one of us, a lot of things to benefit us. But this is what I notice. And I like to speak to young people. I love young people. I don't know. I just love young people. When I see young people, because their passion, their energy, their conviction is out of this world. So I love it. So I will just share something with y'all. Like, listen, it says a sheep will leave. The guy will run after it and rescue it. Like I said, medicine have been given to the body of Christ. But there are certain predators. They will take one and malign it and go away. We fear no problem. Now we have the rest. They will come back again, take another one and go. We still have something else. They will come back. Listen, brothers and sisters. Bible says, hold that which you have, so that the enemy does not take it away from you. I'm going somewhere, and I'll be careful not to mention names. I will not mention names. the things that Christ has given to us for the benefit of the body. Do you know some big names? They will take it from the body and nobody will talk. You'll be looking. There are people who are seated here. You'll be shocked that they are not fully convinced about prosperity. Not because you didn't teach them prosperity, but because a big name stole them something. Who stole that from them? They will say, I think we can make do with healing, with peace, with joy. That's not why Christ came. What about evangelism? What about demon? What about authority? What about deliverance? You say, hey, let them go with prosperity. We make do. Christ didn't come to make you drive a Benz. Christ didn't come make you. I came here with a Benz anyway. So. I'm telling you, I came out with an S500. It's deliberate. You know, some people like say I boast. You don't know what you're missing. You don't just know. I'm telling you. Go and join taxi and you're missing me. Okay? Let's leave that alone. Let's go. You know, when you sit in the S500, when it turns, the seat turns. The seat holds you. Let's go to let me leave you. Are you hearing me? Anyway, leave that one alone, it will waste our time. So be if you say I'm boasting, don't be abusing me. Let's go. I know the mindset of Christians. I've been around for a long time. You know, they will take it. Okay, quiet. We are less than one. Before we know it, they will come again. I know a person, the man of God, that died of sickness. It doesn't mean, if Christ doesn't heal you, it doesn't mean that. They will take that one. Nobody's talking. Before you know it, do you know churches these days, outburst of joy doesn't erupt like it used to erupt again. Because they call us, we are just exuberant. We are just this. So everybody now becomes careful. That one is also taken away. Do you notice that? Not these days. Apart from Reverend Moyo and a few other men of God that have known in your circle, everybody, that really manifest the gift of the Spirit like that. You know most people these days, just preach the word and drop and everybody goes. They've taken, you know, everything you are looking for is in the word. It's correct. But they also remove for the Spirit.
Yes.
They will take it away. Everybody will keep quiet. Me, I'm not keeping quiet again now. Are you hearing me? Whatever is taking, we will run after it and do what? Take it back. We take it back. That's what we're trying to say. So some things I don't take for granted. That's why I say, that's why I make sure that word, maybe you take so many things for granted. So I'm so used to good word. Go and look at the internet. You see that people are preaching the real word, they are not up to 3%. I saw a man of God the other. I'm sorry, I'm father. Sorry, that I called him a man of God. I saw a man the other day. This is how they were throwing money on the stage. Throwing money, he will run like this. And we are playing one music. You know, even by listening to that music, you know that it's demonic music. Are you doing masquerade festival? What is your problem? Do you know what some people come to church and sleep? Because that's what they are used to. WWE. Action in church. When you say, sit, let us share the word, you will see them. Because that, the ability to listen to the word has been taken away from them. So many of these things have been taken away and we are, everybody is folding their hand. The sheep is depleting, truth is depleting. Nobody is saying anything. Everybody's afraid. Oh, we want, what we want to do, we want to organize concert and do all those things. They are good, they have their place. But how many people actually respond to the word of God these days? Glory be to God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Know why I'm saying this thing? The other day, my PA came and met me. It was talking to me about a particular man of God in town. I mean, big church, I mean, big, very big. The way he descended on grace. You feel bad for preaching grace. Those things, we don't take them for granted. Are you hearing? You don't take all those things for granted. People think that if you are preaching grace, all they are hearing is that go and commit sin. I wonder, what are you hearing? I didn't do any, I mean, sorry, I spoke in tongues. Is ear paining you? I don't know. What's your problem? No, tell me what exactly is your problem. We refuse to take those things for granted. We will talk about grace. We will talk about healing. We'll talk about prosperity. We'll talk about the move of the spirit. We'll talk about joy. We'll talk about everything that Christ paid for. We'll go for it. Oh, if any lion, any bear, not their big stature, if they take it, we'll run after them and collect it back. We will not collect it back for everybody, but our own, we'll collect it back. I refuse to be robbed. I refuse to be stolen from. Glory be to God forevermore. Don't refuse it. Glory be to God forevermore. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Well done, Pastor Phil. I love the way you teach grace. Man of God, you know, Pastor Roman, you know, awesome. All of them, awesome. I'm happy to come to a company like this. Not the one you will call, you just be wondering, when will they shoot you? Because you know something is coming. They will say something. Look at what he says. Look, I'm talking about grace. We don't take it for granted. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer what? I, who do was? Only. Okay? But what Christ does what? Lives in me. Tell your neighbor, Christ lives in me. The anointed one lives in me. Hallelujah. You know, we need to be conscious of these things. We will not be robbed of Christ. He lives in us. How can Christ believe you? Look at your makeup. Who told you that? Oh, I don't want to take my time. I don't want to talk too much today. But Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Glory be to God. Verse 21. Verse 21. I do not do what? Set our aside what? The grace. Is that what a lot of people are doing these days? What is it you're talking about? It's grace. No, let us forget this grace. But look at what the apostle Paul said. The most versatile apostle after Christ. Who he said, do you know what it means to set something aside? It means to just, you know the way, you know sometimes when you set something aside, you begin to look for it. Because you just dispose it in a way that, he said, I don't do that. I don't take grace for granted. I do not set aside what? The grace of God. How many churches have set aside the grace of God? That when you begin to teach grace, everybody will just go cool on you. Look at you, one of them, a sinner. That's what they think. He said, I don't set aside the grace of God. He says, if righteousness comes through the law, then what? Christ died in me. If God will now be loving you because of performance and action, he said, then Christ's death is in vain. Do you know something? I know, yeah, you are married, some of you have children, all that stuff. You work so hard, right? But you don't look as you work hard. You look too fresh, but no problem, I know you work hard. You work so hard to make life comfortable for these kids. Then as you are coming to your compound, you see your children on the street, this other street, selling pure water. Say, Joshua! Josh! He turns. Hello, Dad. Why are you selling pure water for? I'm trying to pay my fees. You will baptize him? Okay, anyway. But why I work is so that you can have a comfortable life. So that you too can take care of your family later in the future. Christ paid the price. But when we set it aside, we begin to labor for our own righteousness. Begin to labor for our own breakthrough. Glory be to God forevermore. And when some people see grace, they say, grace, we are saved by grace now. That's as if, okay, we are saved by grace. After we are saved by grace, we now drop it aside. I will now begin to fight out salvation. I begin to work out prosperity. Work out breakthrough. Salvation, where far can grace go? Grace, we are saved by grace. After that, be involved. How stupid can we be that you have a visa to America? That only the visa, what the visa does to you, so allow you entrance. And then you enter America, you sit at the airport. That's what they're telling us now. That grace is only entrance after the adultery again. You just enter America, sit at the airport. Is that what visa does to you? It gives you a right to go to anywhere in America. Bible says, could be a law that will give life. It said the righteousness will have been by that law. And the word life there is not Zoe. It's what Zubeu. Yeah, that is a big lie. So if there's a law that could give you that kind of increasing abundant life, he said, then that law, that life will be by that law. See, but that's no. The righteousness will be by that law. That means what righteousness does to you is not just salvation. What it does to you is exposing you to this big life. Glory be to God forevermore. That's what we do. We get our visa, we get to the airport, we get to Dubai. All of you like Dubai, right? You get Dubai. Yeah, I don't like Dubai at all. No, nothing. Just age difference. You know what I mean? You are quite young. So you will like all the shiny, all the light, all those things. They don't impress me at all. I love burnt bricks. I love culture. I love things that have, you see, that has foundation. Okay, no problem. Just my own taste. Dubai is okay. You know, so now, you get to Dubai, you see that the airport. And they say, this visa allows you to go to everywhere, go to Jumeirah, go. They say, no. I want to look for another visa that will allow me to tour. That's what we do. After Christ. No, there's must be something else again. But I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. It is what? Enough. Honestly, it is enough. It is enough. So let them be talking. You too, be listening. Let them be stealing your sheep one after the other. Don't you let anything stolen from you deplete you? So you wonder why a Christian goes to depression. He's still professing Christ, but something has been stolen. Something is missing. No fulfillment, no joy, no nothing. Why will you be a Christian? You look haggard, more like Hagar. What is your problem? You see some Christian, no joy, nothing about them. I saw a guy the other day. I went to say, do something. He came out, don't be rough. I was like, it's a man. Good afternoon, sir. He did, I said, what is it? Are you going on the cross or just coming from the cross? Where are you going? What is the problem? What is You look as if the whole world is on you. Even people are doing bad things, they are happy. You that are doing good, what's your problem? I think you are the one that told me of someone that went and said, you know, was preaching somewhere. I said, you know, give your life to Christ. I asked why. Why should I give my life to Christ? I like my life like this. I don't want to give it to anybody. They love their life. Meanwhile, we have the real life. And we look, why? Something is stolen from us. Glory be to God forevermore. Let us do away with performance. God is happy with you the way you are. Honestly. There's nothing you need to add for God to bless you. He has already blessed you. Hallelujah. Please, go to Galatians chapter 5. Okay, I need to. It says, look at what it says. Stand fast, what? In the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled with what? With a yoke of bondage. Listen to me. I don't care who they are. When they are breaking bondage around you, be disentangling. They want to put you around your leg, do your leg like this. They want to put it around your neck, do your neck like this. They want to put it around your face, shake yourself up. Listen. He said, do not be entangled. It's an entanglement. They throw it out like a web, like a rope. Before you know, you got caught up. Why is it that some people cannot talk boldly about what they believe again? Because they are being entangled. Yeah. Say, do not be entangled again. We say, with the yoke of bondage. That means anything that is outside Christ, it is called bondage. If it's outside Christ, it is called what? Bondage. You could be intelligent, you could be eloquent, you could make sense, but because it's what? Bondage. That's what I would call it. Glory be to God forevermore. You know, some of you now, you don't feel very holy because your friend came and met you. Said, in our church, we are doing 100 days. 100 days of fasting. You are saying, in our church, we have not done 3 days. So we have not started. Some of you will come into a church like this, you will still be getting involved with the yoke of bondage. I pastor people long now. Nobody can deceive me. You cannot deceive me. I know you. Because your pastor wears tie. He has perfume. His ear looks nice. Wears good shoes. Say no. God cannot use those food. They are so psychedelic. That man wearing clothes don't fade. You can't.
can see people that know God, they don't like material things. So you too, you go there. I know that. I know Christians. Because somewhere inside you, you don't believe that what Christ has done is enough. Somewhere inside, you don't believe that grace is enough for you. He said, do not be engaged with yoke of bondage again. But the next verse. I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, oh my God, Christ will profit you what? Nothing. I know you are thinking, this is to the Jews, right? You are wondering, okay, what does it mean to become circumcised, right? How many of you know that circumcision is painful? Remember that time when the children of Heth or something were circumcised and they were in pain on the third day and the children of Israel came and wiped them out. You know what? Can I read it for you? Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you do anything that becomes painful, Christ will profit you nothing. Because we think that to get a result must be painful. That is what we think now. You must pray until your tongue turns blue. You must fast until you are left with bone and skin. You must give until your children suffer hunger. That is what we think now. Pain brings result. No pain, no profit. Yeah, no pain, no gain. Thank you. Peace square. You know why grace is so painful to these people? Why we preach? Why it's so painful to them? You know why? Because man is no longer glorified. Because there's no way to give credit to man. They don't like it. They want to look like Nebuchadnezzar. I said, look at the great Babylon that my hand and my strength has built. That's what they want to point to. But we point to Christ, who has built everything for us. And to them, it's offensive. Look at what it says. If you are looking for something that will be painful to you right now, Bible says Christ will profit you nothing. You know why? He has taken the pain. Why are you looking for it again? Next verse. Look at what it says. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he's a debtor. He be a debtor to keep everything, to keep the law. That's why they cannot let go, because they are debtors. They could keep paying till their life ends. Look at some of you. Some of you came here with taxi. Some of you came here with a canape. Some of you came here with your car. Second hand, third hand, fourth hand. You came here with different cars. Some of you are even living in your uncle's house. But look at how fresh, how happy you look. Some of them, they have thousands in their children, they have billions in their account. They don't even look as happy as you. Because they are not doing it by grace. They are working. When you somebody who is unnecessarily hard, don't touch that! I work hard for it! Know that they really work hard for it. They are not generous in their spirit. They are not gracious in their speech. They are not gracious in their attitude towards anybody. You do anything, they hack you down. Look, I'm not trying to say anything. Look at when that scandal broke out about 2 months. Busola, if you are Busola here, I don't know. And everything broke out. Listen to the comment of these men of God. You will see that these people lack grace. Their comment was so caustic. But what are you looking for? Some of them have 35,000 membership church. Some of them have 40,000 membership church. What are you looking for in this small boy that has probably 3,000 or 4,000 members? That even your path don't even cross anywhere. That if they are going to choose your PA, they cannot even consider him. What is your problem? We are not gracious. You know, some of us think we are gracious. We are only naturally gracious. We are not spiritually gracious. When it happens to our children, we know how to do it. When it happens to others, we say, we bring an arrow, kill him! Kill him! We are not gracious. We are not. I thought the Bible says, if a brother is overtaking a fault, you that are spiritual should restore. It is a criticizing. They say drag him down. Some people are even making a statement to be popular with these riffraffs, social media. I'm sorry I spoke to you in Yoruba. God forbid. Who are they? Yeah. Some of them very ugly looking. How can you compare the world, a man that spent all night in prayer and a man that spent all night at nightclub? He talks, you now say you like. What is wrong with you? What is the problem? No. What is that problem? Where is it coming from? That you come to church, you hear the word of God, a man that goes to club. Say something you say you like. Honestly, something is wrong. Something is wrong in the house of the king. Must we make a statement? Must we release anything? Who is allegiance to? Who are they? back it up. You see? That boy that said look like a Bentigo. What is he doing? Now what? Who are they? Who are they? Honestly, on a normal day, who are they? Who are these people? That we feel that we must bow to their pressure. Who are they? God has not set anybody to be a moral compass for anybody. We look unto Christ and Christ alone. And verse, the next verse, let me move forward. The next verse, it says, you have become what? Estranged what? From Christ. When you are trying to do all that, we are estranged from Christ. It says, you who attempt to be justified by the law, you are what? Falling from grace. Grace no longer profits you. You have dropped by the roadside. Glory be to God forevermore. Estranged from Christ. A lot of people are still preaching, but they are estranged from Christ. Yes, now how do I know they're saved from Christ? Because out of the 7 points, none of them will point to Christ. Out of the 8 points, none of them will point to Christ. If you want to be healed, good food, good exercise, forgive your parents, don't let bitterness dwell inside of you, make sure you move your body every 1 hour, have 8 hours sleep a day. After that, do charity work. Because when you release, pressure goes. And then finally, listen to good music. Where is Christ in this equation? No. Now, if you want to work for Ebony, go and work for Ebony Magazine. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
But if you are going to preach Christ, let us think. Are you here? Let us stay in Christ. I'm this hard because I know some of you are young. Those things impress you. Because, number one, some of them don't even speak like the way we speak. You know, I speak natural. You will know where I came from. Some of them will come, you know, oh my, you know. Oh, praise the Lord for today. You know, I just want to share with you 8 points that if you learn this, they're going to transform your life totally. You will fast forward. It's a fast forward life. You know, sometimes you can play normal, sometimes you can fast forward. This one will fast forward your life. So that's what I want to share with you today. It's awesome. There are things I've worked with, I've experimented with them, they have really worked. You know, you want to stay in health, you know, number one. We need to change our diet. We need to change our diet. Diet. It's a diet. You know. Diet means you are not dying yet. Okay. But you eventually die. Anyway, let's leave that alone. They will teach you all those things. Where is grace here? What Christ did? He says, no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is what? Christ. He says, let a man just be careful how he builds on it. That's all. If I were you, I would give myself an assignment to find out who this Christ is.
Yes, sir.
What he did. Who am I to him? Who is he to me? What role is he playing in my life now? What role will he play in my future? Do you know our going to heaven is not based on anything apart from what Christ has done? Glory be to God forevermore. Please don't fall from grace. Don't take it for granted. They have been stealing it from the body of Christ. They talk about it in the air. They talk about it everywhere. We all keep quiet. Don't let them steal it from you. Glory be to God forevermore. Go to the book of Galatians. No, I said Galatians already. Go to the book of Romans chapter 9, verse 30, please. Romans 9:30. Honestly, I came a bit late, not because I was late, I was ready. But I was playing music. I was dancing in my house. I forgot. I was playing one Ghanaian music. Oh, you are me, you. I am me, yo. I am happy. I'm a happy guy. I don't need you to be happy. I am happy from here. I'm happy. I am a happy, honestly. Because when I think of what Christ has done, past wiped, present secured, future settled. What are you looking for? He that gave us his only begotten son. What else? Won't he freely? The Bible says he gives without finding fault. Without finding fault. My God. I've told someone, my friend, I said, even if there's no heaven, we can get to heaven. God said, I'm just lying, no. You know, that's not possible. And God says, look, okay, you two think there's heaven. There's no heaven anywhere. I'm just playing with humanity. No heaven. I mean, no regret. No regret. Are you hearing me? I love my Christian life. I've had peace. I can go for HIV test. My heart will not shake. No, some people, they go for HIV test now, they will die before the sun comes out. They have money, oh, but if they go for, I feel like the doctor, after they did it for one boy, you know, they tested everything, two of them, UI, tested them. So the boy has dreadlock, everything. So the doctor, please come, Dr. Anointed, please. You know, so we'll just be talking. They will now go and sit down. They'll come back. The boy started peeing. Where was it? Every time the doctor would just come and say. So they now, later they now said, you, they pointed to 12% and said, you can go. You come. They said, you are free. They left me seated again. They continue. They will now wait again. Say, okay. They start talking. The boy just said, the boy will now stood up and say, kill me now. What? This one that I've died. Just kill me. Yeah. Finally, one doctor now said, no, you are free. Huh? He said, no. He said, we just want to teach you a lesson because we know you are reckless. This is what you're likely to get if you continue the way you are. From that boy, from that day, the boy was killed. They carried a psychological warfare on him. So that's why I said, I love my life, honestly. If you get to yourself, no, you did that, whichever. You know, that year I gave you an answer enough now. No regret. By this same grace, we have lived a good life. No regret. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained righteousness, even righteousness of faith. Okay? That's verse 31. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law or the law of righteousness. That means pursuing something doesn't mean you will attain. If you pursue it wrongly. Look at it. Look what God says. He said, why? Why? He said, because they did not seek it well by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law, and they stumble at that stumbling stone. Why is it that grace has become a stumbling stone? That's what he's saying. It's become a stumbling stone. They're trying to get something. It's not working. Okay. How can just merely believe in that? No. So they now begin to pursue their own way. Bible calls grace, the message of Christ, a stumbling stone. Because they don't know how to navigate around it. Because it's stubbornly so to them. Look, I got go to verse 2. Verse 3. Verse 3 says, behold, I lay what? In Zion. What? A stumbling stone. A rock of offense. Why are they offense? I hear some bishops. When they come against this. Say, what is that? He said, in our days, when a brother stumbles, we cry all day. We cry with a broken heart. So this day when God does just say, Father, forgive me, he said, he said, who told this over? Who told this over? Who told this over? It's not over. It's not over. Every time you commit sin, somebody dies. Something dies. Listen. Why is this thing a rock of offense? Even if I'm forgiven, by simply say Christ forgive me or whatever, does it reduce on your own righteousness? So why is my own relationship with God a problem to you? Why is it a problem to you? If you want to cry, cry. Your cry is not a problem to me. Why should my own joy and happiness be a problem to you? Why is this thing has become a rock of offense? Why is that when we talk about Christ? Say, no, what are you talking about? You are the standard. The standard has collapsed. We need to raise the standard in those days when Christians, when the Christians coming, everybody knows that it's a Christian. What are they talking about? No earring, handkerchief, grandmama's skirt. That's how they know that it's a Christian. A brother has trousers. That is, you know, one is pointing to one, another one is sweeping the ground. And it's coming like this without somebody without soul. They're just going like this. They say, it's a brother. It's a brother. It's a Christian. We know them. What is our problem? Is that what you call standard? If that was what they are practicing, some of you have gone to hell by now. Nobody will have come to the kingdom. Glory be to God forevermore. He said, Bible says, whoever believes what? On him will not be put what? To shame. Say amen to that. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I refuse to be put to shame because I believe in Christ. Hallelujah. We refuse to be put to shame. Let them say whatever they want to say. We refuse to be put to shame. We refuse them to steal this thing called grace from us. Anybody that comes after, we will run after that bear. We will rescue it back. Sometimes when you spend 30 minutes listening to some people, they can upset the foundation you have laid for five years. 30 minutes from them can upset everything. They speak with passion. They speak with conviction. But passion and conviction doesn't mean you are correct. You can be passionately wrong. Something happened one day. One of my church members, a long time ago, that time I was pastoring the other church. And then the guy had an accident. They rushed into orthopedic hospital here. It was shot. So the bullet traveled from here to the hand. I got there. Dr. Phil. I told the man, the doctor, because the boy was shouting. I said, doctor, remove this bullet. And this boy is shouting. Can't you see his bones? I was shouting. The doctor just looked at me like this. He didn't say anything. He took the blood. He gave it to the nurse. He said, please go and test for alcoholic content before we put him to sleep. So that before we do the operation. Oh, I was mad. Dr. Moyo, I was mad. I look at the doctor. I said, what kind of doctor are you? I'm disappointed. Number one, when they told me that you trained in Germany, I doubt it. I insulted a day out of him. May God forgive me. Well, they have forgiven me since anyway. I forgot. I insulted the day out of him. That somebody is shot. He's dying. You are going to test blood. I said, put this man to sleep and remove this goddamn bullet from his hand. He said, sir, so I have standard procedure with test for alcohol content so that we use also. I said, I've known that brother for years. I said, this is a brother. He doesn't drink. Everything. So they gave him paracetamol to just relax everything. The results came back the following day. The alcohol content was 3 times. I was thinking with passion, but I was wrong. That's what I was trying to make. That's what I mentioned his name. I was shouting that is a brother. Ow! Look, when we are preaching the word in those days, brother was he would stand up and say, Hey Rubia. Powerful brother. His alcoholic content was 3 times. The normal drink that you drink. Normal, some of you still drink, right? Pastor Tokola, we don't see nobody's drinking here. Hey, nobody's drinking here. People claim that nobody's drinking. It's not possible. Forget that one. Nobody will come and say, Pastor Tokola, I'm drinking. Now. Nobody. Hey, hallelujah. Some people are not looking up. They are drinking. Okay, leave that one. Anyway. He said it was 3 times higher than normal. But I was passionate. I said, it's not possible. But I was wrong. Somebody can be speaking with fire. But they can be wrong. They can be wrong. And you listen to them for 30 minutes. All you breathe for 5 years, they will torpedo it. Go to chapter 10, please. Chapter 10, verse 1. Please. Oh, wow. My God, help me this morning. Chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel that they may be saved. Go on, verse 2. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to what? To knowledge. These people talk with passion, but it's not according to knowledge. They are not bad people. We don't call them bad people. But they talk with passion, but they don't have knowledge. And having a big church and being successful doesn't mean you know everything. Yes, it takes humility for you to admit that some things you don't know, and nobody knows it all. It's even common sense for you. Okay, this thing you're talking about, I want to hear it. And be open-hearted. Hallelujah. For I mean that they have a zeal for God. But now, according to knowledge, verse 3, please. It says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Ooh, I love this one. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to exalt their own righteousness, have not submitted to the world, to the righteousness of God. Can we read it this way? For they being ignorant of the prosperity of God, and seeking to establish their own prosperity, they have not submitted what? To the prosperity of God. For they be ignorant of the healing of God, are seeking to establish their world, their own healing, have not submitted to the healing of God. For they, being ignorant of God's breakthrough, and they also seeking to establish their own breakthrough, they have not submitted to the breakthrough of God. Is that not why they are giving us 7 ways, 10 ways? That's their own breakthrough. They are seeking. And they have not submitted themselves to the breakthrough that comes from God. For the Bible says, next verse, Christ is the end of all that action. And for righteousness, for breakthrough, for health, for healing, for prosperity to everyone who believes. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Christ is the end of that kind of struggle. Please, let me say this to you before I move on. If you see any brother, any sister, whose life is too caught up with struggling to get something done, he has not embraced what Christ has done. Look, let me break it down for you. Where are you going? Because where I live, that's one on Third Road. Then they said there's a mountain at the end. I will see fine girls. They will stand by the roadside. One bus, ramshackle bus, is coming to carry them. They said they are going to mountain. You will see that they are still seeking to establish their own breakthrough, their own righteousness. Well, let me ask you now. Why are you fasting for 40 days? What is the purpose? You did it last year. You are broker. You can be brokest. You did it 3 years ago. You are still where you are. When are we going to sit back to think? Perhaps we are seeking it ignorantly. And we have not submitted ourselves to the way that God wants us to have it. Why is it, brothers and sisters, that when we mention a prayer mountain, it's full? When people are, when you see a man, or when you see somebody who settles something somewhere inside the bush, I say there's a prophet there who prays over water, who prays over oil. You will see people park big cars; they'll be good. When they come, some of them will carry 2 buckets of water. Jugs. I'm not joking. They'll carry jugs. They are going home. They have been praying for. Why are they seeking to establish their own breakthrough, their own oil? Because they've not submitted what? To the righteousness and the breakthrough that comes from Christ. But here we are right now. We put up AC here for you to come and hear this seasoned men of God. But they say, no, all those young boys, what are they going to say? But let's say one bishop or Reverend Dodundawa is in town now. You will see them. Oil will be shared. Don't worry. Water will be brought. Agriculture will be prayed for. And you'll be given necklaces that will break the shatter of the devil. You will see people come. Because we've not understood the righteousness of Christ. We've not understood it. That this thing they are looking for is available in Christ. You know what the Bible says? You know what the Bible says? All things are yours. All things are yours. Because of Christ, what Christ has done. Glory be to God forevermore. Isaiah 50. Let me read verse 10 for you. Thank you. My God, I love this scripture. I've used it for years. I read it again and again. Look at what it says. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? You respect. Let me tell you something. Before I proceed, I need to say this. Anybody that claims he fears God or he loves God but cast aside Christ doesn't love God. The only way you measure relationship with Christ, with God, is a relationship with Christ. You cannot love the Father and hate the Son. It doesn't make sense. I say, Reverend Roman, wow, you are a great man. And your son comes, I give him a knock. So now, I'll deal with you, Father. Will you be happy with me? You will not be happy with me now. That's what we do to Christ. We set him aside, but we love God. But we are servants of God. Come on. Come on. Who's fooling who here? Some of you will open your mouth and say, but Muslims and Christians, we are serving the same God. Let me leave that alone. It says, I'm going to fear the Lord. That is, I obey the voice of his servant. Who walks what? In darkness and has no light. Let him do what? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Say amen to that.
Amen.
You are faithfully following God, right? You love Christ. You hear the man of God speak.
you follow what it teaches, and yet you've not had the breakthrough. He said, what? Continue to trust in the name of the Lord. It's not time for you now to take initiative. Say, no, you can't remain like this now. My friend was going somewhere. I know what God did to God his life 3 months. And then you started. No, now. Bible says, that means sometimes we trust God. Things may not happen immediately. The Bible says, keep trusting in the Lord your God. But go to the next verse. Go to the next verse. Verse 11. He said, look, all you who kindled a fire. He says, and you circle yourself with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire and the spark you have kindled. That what happened these days? He says, some people are trusting God, but some people, because they've not seen the result, they go and kindle a fire. They will start a program. Battle of battles. They will try to kindle a fire. Some will even lead, how many Christians even live fake life? Because we've not gotten a result. We can't kindle a fire on our own. Borrow suit, borrow shoe, borrow wig. Where are you trying to kindle a fire? Bible says, in case you have not seen the result, keep trusting in the. He didn't say anything was wrong. You fear God, you obey the voice of his servant. I said, you don't have anything to fear. It may take a bit of time. Don't keep doing any strange fire. Put effort. That's what they do. Put effort. You now surround yourself with your sparks. You know how to surround yourself with your sparks? 7 days fasting. Oil. Mantu. I will see people carrying padlock these days. They want to padlock devil. When Bible said the weapon of warfare are not carnal, you know, night vigil everywhere. Surround yourself with your own sparks. Bible said, if you want to do that, walk in light of the sparks you have created, though. But he said, this, said, in case you do that, he said, this you shall have from my hand. You will lie down what? In torment. Is that why a lot of Christians are tormented? They've created a spark, their own fire. Why are they not happy? They are walking in the fire they have created. They are walking in the fire they've created. Glory be to God forevermore. Let me jump. Okay. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12. Wow. I pray, receive the word from his mouth and be at peace. Say, thereby good will come to you. When you see a Christian that is restless, he has not understood grace. Do all you need to do. Submit the application. Pray. Thank God. But don't be too bothered. Trust God. Just trust him and just keep moving. Honestly. You fear God. You hear the voice of his servant. Faith has risen in your heart. Don't keep trying to start any fire. I told you, again, they're threatening me. They're trying to kindle fire. They're not married. Pastor T, I've just become a single mother. I said, if you don't become a single mother today, you're a bastard. I know what you are thinking, that I will encourage you. Don't worry, be patient. Me, I will tell you that kind of statement. Never, not me. I don't understand that kind of lie. I don't lie to people. I said, if you don't become a single mother today, as we are talking now, your head is not correct. You should become a single mother as we are talking now. Why are you threatening? Who do you think you are threatening? Who do you think you are threatening? Think I'm a kind of pastor that's looking for membership at all cost? Who are you threatening? If you don't become a single mother as we are talking now, you must become a single mother now. Who do you think you are talking to? Thank you, her father. What do you think you say? Who do you think you are talking to? Who do you think you are threatening? And I'll become a single mother. Yeah. You shall become a double mother. Not single. I said, listen to me, my sister. Listen to me. I said, listen. I've been old enough to know that even if you bring ordinary dog to the house, your lifestyle will change. Go on, not a baby. Go and acquire a dog now. And bring a dog to your house. Your lifestyle will change totally. You will now begin to pack shit. We buy food. You cannot wake up and travel again because we take care of your dog. Your lifestyle will be turned upside down. As you are buying your own food, you are buying dog's food. That is acquisition of a dog. Now go acquire a child. And we shall see. So you are threatening. Become a single mother now. You will discover that your life will turn upside down. What are you talking about? Why are you threatening? Don't kindle a fire around here. Because God said, this is what you will have from my hand. You will lie down in torment. How many Christians are tormented? They are not happy because they kindle certain fire they cannot understand. Hebrews 12. Let me begin to. Wow. Hebrews 12. What did I say? 12, right? Even verse 14. Verse 14. Wow. It says, what does it say? Pursue peace with all men and what? And holiness without which you must see God. Okay. Let's go on. Okay. It says, looking carefully. I know when we say, I know some of you are wondering that scripture, they used to threaten you. Since I've read it, let me, because I'm going somewhere down. But since I've read it, let me explain it to you. Because some of you think, you quickly escape, quickly run away from it. Pursue holiness with all men. What's that one? Verse 14. Go back there, because they will think that we are running away. Say, why didn't he explain that one? Why didn't he explain, follow peace and the holiness? Why did he run away? Did you not say, did he make any comments? He ran away. I'm not Iran, you are Iraq. Look at yourself. Look at what it says. It says, pursue peace with all men and what? And holiness. Without what? Which no one what? Will see the Lord. Should I read it again? Pursue peace with all men and what? And holiness. With all people. Say all men. Without which one man will see the Lord. Right? What is the subject matter here? All people or all men. It says, so, without which no one will see the Lord. What is saying this? Well, without holiness, no man will see God. You can be a Christian, you go to hell. This is not talking about that. Bible says, he that believes in Christ will never come to judgment again. It's part from condemnation. So this thing cannot be contradicting what he has said. Listen, what he's saying is this. Pursue peace with all men. Be a nice guy generally. Are you hearing me? And try to live a holy life. He says, you know why? With all people, say without what? Which no one will see God. You know what he's saying? Some people, the only way they will see God is through your lifestyle. So if you don't live like that, they will not be able to see God. He's talking about the people, not you. Without which no man sees God. Because some people are waiting for you. To be called a Christian. To be called, they won't be able to see God. But if you live right, they will see God indeed. You do see a version there that's nice? Give me the message version. Let me see. Work at getting along with each other and with God. Otherwise, yeah, you never get so much as glimpse of God. That is, you see, using traditional method of interpretation. Because I know people that saw God. They are not even saved. They were not even born again at all. Honestly, it's talking about us helping others to see God. No man, they say you, no man, they will not be able to see. Try to be at peace with everyone and try to live a holy life because no one will see the Lord without it. Hallelujah. Thank you. What is good news translation? Thank you. Glory be to God. That's what he says. So he said, I don't think I ran away. I didn't run away. I ran back. Okay, let's continue. Okay. Say, looking carefully. I love this one. Looking carefully, lest anyone do what? Fall short of what? Of grace of God. Don't fall short of the grace of God. Don't fall short of the grace of God. He says, why? What happens? Remember where we read? He said they will lie down in torment, in pain. He says, when somebody falls short of the grace of God and try to kindle his own fire, look at what the Bible says. Lest what? Any root of bitterness springing up will cause trouble. And this may become what? And this many become what? Defiled. Is that not what happens? Have you ever seen some people? They are very sour. They are so sour. They are so touchy. They are like connecting high tension plus high tension. No matter how successful they are never at peace with anybody. Because they are not appropriating the grace of God. What happens? Root of bitterness. Bible says, it springs up. Yeah. How do I put this across to you? Have you ever seen somebody who labored, got some result? Somebody just walked in there and just got result. Do you know how bitter they can be?
It took me 10 years of 40 days fasting every month. I know some of you are wondering how you do 40 days every month. Don't worry. You didn't get that. It took me 40 days fasting every month. How can you say, you just come here and say, you just speak it. Do you know God? And they begin to threaten. Root of bitterness has sprung up. Before they, you know, they begin to spew the same thing out, and many become defied. Do you know some people, they will never celebrate your success? Never. 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 They are falling on the grace of God. They don't understand that the same things are available to them. Never. Root of bitterness has sprung up. There are many be divided. Go on. Okay. It says, lest there be what any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold what? His birthright. Let me ask you, birthright, do you work for it or is by grace? So what did he sell there? He sold his grace. So you can understand why he's a bitter guy. Why is a profane person? You hear them talk, you can say profanity. They don't have hope. They can misbehave anytime because they have lost touch of grace. Glory be to God forever. Amen. That's what happens. You say, did you know Reverend Arume? I say, which are the Arume? Which are the Arume? I say, Arume Tukula. What about him? What about him? He said, no, he just came to town and he's doing an awesome job. In fact, the way God has really helped the ministry. Is there another thing you want to tell me? I said, no, Nigeria, just tell me you know him. If there's happening anything, let's go. If you see him, greet him. You can see they have failed of the grace. You can never meet them for that. They will never be able to share anything positive with you. I want to, I'm planning to invest this thing. I'm planning to do this business. I just thought that if I listen, when you finish speaking, say, how old are you? So I'm 35. Why are you in a hurry? Why are you in a hurry? This generation, I don't know. You are talking to a man who has failed all the grace of God. Root of bitterness has sprung up. Before you know, they defy everybody. Any vision that goes to them, they must kill it. Any ambition that goes down, they must cut down. Any joy that gets there, they must remove that joy. They are afraid of the grace of God. They defy everybody. They will come to a church like this. They will open the Bible. Say, well, I thank God for his grace over your lives. But from what I can perceive that the Lord is telling me is that a lot of you still need heart evacuation. You are saved, but your heart has not been evacuated. Your heart is still the same. You beat traffic lights. They will, by the time they list 100 sins, one must catch you. One must catch you. They are afraid of the grace of God. They see a big church. They say, only a few be saved. Why are you gathering? Say, only a remnant. They will start again. They are afraid of the grace of God. Only what is left is bitterness. You are getting married. Why are you happy? Who are you getting? Who told that marriage is happiness? Why are you happy? If you maintain this mind, next 1 year, I will see. No, have you not met people like that? They are afraid of the grace. They are used to sweat. If you are not sweating, they are not happy. They are afraid of the grace of God. Let me read one more scripture. Actually, I thought I would share about two or three things with you today. Things we don't take for granted. But let me just leave it and go. We take it for granted. Don't. Don't let anybody steal it from you. When they are talking like that, just pretend we are going to the toilet. Go and urinate everything away. Just urinate everything. Just are you urinate away religion? Are you urinate away bondage? Just urinate it away. When you finish from that place, wash your hand.
and just go. Say, I've washed away everything. Just leave. Because some of what you don't know, Bible says, if anybody fails of the grace of God, root of bitterness will spring up. You will not be happy with your children. You will not be happy with anybody. How? Somebody is healed. Say, no, why are you rejoicing? It's not the healing. It's the counter attack of the devil that I fear. Because when he calls back, we serve one of the wicked devils. What is your? And some of you think that is a New Testament standard. It's a symbol of someone that's failed the grace of God. They may get some result, but they got it on that label. So if you want to get it any other way, they don't like it. Glory be to God forever. I believe we are in Believers Convention. And we should be able to tell each other the truth, right? Let me share one more scripture. Let me go. Glory be to God forevermore. Please go to the book of First Samuel. Let me round up on that today. Hallelujah. I refuse to fail of the grace of God. I refuse to be ignorant of God's way of making things work. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to establish my own way. No. It could be stressful. Just imagine we are coming to this nav center. You saw this express. You said, no, this is too smooth. You now begin to create your own. Is that not what we are doing? We are trying to pay for our own way. When God has made a way for us. But Jesus said, I am the way. But we don't want to follow that. We want to create our own way. How stupid can we be? Hallelujah. You know, one day I was preaching like this. One guy was there. He was so mad. I was just praying my spirit. I was also preparing, you know, a good kick. Because in my coming, I don't know how he will react. But I know before the usher, I'm targeting him. You have to be smart. Have you ever told you? I was targeting him because he was mad. I could see anger and disgust on his face and so much madness on his face. Yeah, I was just watching. You know, I would just pray like, I'll preach like this. I was watching because I was any move. The kind of blow I will give you. He will not forget in his life. Because it's better for me to kill you and ask for forgiveness than for you. The guy was mad. At a point, he just carried his Bible and walked out. And he let me know, or knew that you are the source of my anger against what you are saying. He walked out. Continue your life like that. What we have known, what we have embraced, what we have handled, won't allow anyone to take it from us. The first time I prayed for 1 hour in my life was the day one man of God, I don't know where he is right now, when he taught me that Christ is the hope of glory. Before, prayer used to be burdensome, but the day he told me that Christ is in me, my God. Religion, we're all trying to please God. We're all trying to believe it was work. But somebody told you that Christ sees you, that he loves you. My God. Was anybody something? It just became a flow. One day when somebody told me that as he is, so am I. My God. Not as he was, so. Even as he was, it's good enough. But as he is, my God. That Bible says, this perfect love. Bible says, we have confidence before him in the day of judgment. Because as he is. Because if he's able to condemn himself, then he will condemn you. That's our confidence. My God. Let me, what did I say? 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 9. Let me close. Thank you. I want to go and carry my Bible. I didn't come with Bible. I came with a part. Hallelujah. So, let me just go. Remember when the ark was taken, remember? The Philistines captured the ark, they took it away. When they started dying, they started returning it, everything. Then they took it to the southern part of Judah, to a city called Bethshemesh and everything. Okay. Then when they got there, then God struck the men of what? Of Bethshemesh. Because, look at what it says, they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men of them. And the people lamented because the Lord has struck the people with a great slaughter. Did you see that? The Philistines, because they didn't know how to handle, they brought the ark. Right? I think you guys can deal with this thing. They said, well, they consulted their oracle, told them what to do. So they stood, the thing went. They got to Bethshemesh. Bible said they rejoiced when they saw it. Right? Well, salvation has come, right? Because first, if we go back a little bit, maybe verse 18, it says they rejoiced when they saw it. It came not in time of harvest. They were happy. They shouted. Okay? Verse 19, death came. What did they do? They looked into the ark. They opened it. Remember, the ark is just a box, right? Covered with the mercy seat. They lifted the mercy seat. They look inside. Because they have been wondering, what is like this thing? They lifted the mercy seat. God was saying that you must lift the mercy seat. They lifted it. They saw it. God struck them. Why? What was in the ark they saw? They saw Aaron's rod that budded. Three things in the ark, right? Which represent rebellion against leadership. They saw the stone that contained the commandment, which represented what they are breaking every day. Sin. They saw the third one, the manna, that represents complaint. What is this manna? What is manna? Oh, God was so angry. He said, put this thing. This is a reminder of their sin. But the way I will deal with it, I will put the mercy seat on it and cover it. Because mercy transforms over what? Over judgment. Sat on it. But they said, no, we're not dealing with mercy. We want to see the sin. The judgment came. So you see what we are doing right now. So when the pastor comes here, your sin will find you out. Some of you came from nightclub. They are backbiters. Where is the love of God in your heart? These days, the way you are living your beard, how can you be a sister and you are painted all over? Bible said the holy men of God in those days, the holy women of God, they covered themselves with mud dressing. You are still wearing things that pertain unto men. We need to censor our hearts. Censor your hearts. By the time they mention 100 sins, death is already occurring in the congregation. You came with joy. Your joy has been killed. You came with faith. Your faith has been killed. You came with expectation for healing. That expectation has been killed. Why? Somebody is opening and looking at sin. When we focus on sin, things die. But when we focus on Christ, we live. Brothers and sisters, don't take grace for granted. I rest my case this morning. May God bless you. May God bless you. Do you hear what I say right now? We refuse to die. We refuse to be taken for granted. We refuse to be to open up sin. We look unto Christ, the mercy seat, the atonement, the propitiation for our sin. That's what we look unto. And that's where life flows from. So when they begin to talk like that, excuse yourself. Before you know it, something starts dying. Your confidence starts dying. Things are going down. We refuse that. Glory be to God.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it. Because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.